Well, heidi ho, bitches. Guess what? It's a podcast. That's what it is. It's September 1st, everybody. It's here. Where are you? As you can tell, I'm a bit hoarse. Perhaps it's the Green Mountains and their beautiful morning dew that's adding some spilkes to my galactic zoink. Because I'm a little whatever, but that's fine. You can still talk. You'll see. I'll ease into it. Must speak. It's September 1st. We've got to do these every day, folks. We've got to get KenBraverman.com into the search engines so that people can find it on the interwebs. Great. So what's happening? What isn't happening? Great times in the personal life. You know, we all go through chapters in life. And if you're not progressing through a chapter, then you're not proceeding through this book and moving on to something cool. Life should be one big choose your adventure book where you follow the path that you want to. We should have the freedom as human beings. Let us corral the robots. Let's put the whip to the robots and make them do everything for us so that we can all be leisurely looking kings. That's what's supposed to happen. There's a negative and a positive to this overwhelming automation craze that's happening everywhere. There's a positive and there's a negative. And I guess things usually exist or permeate if the society wants them or if they take over the society. So what Elon Musk is scared about, which is the robots going nuts and owning us. Or think about this, right? We have things like people driving their cars into people. Yeah, that's been a killer lately. Well, what about when one of these militarized drones, you strap an exoskeleton with a bunch of rifles or automatic weapons and you just tear it through buildings? You'll kill hundreds, if not thousands, of people. Because, like, what, you think the police are going to be able to stop a drone? In a way, Trump is right to give the police grenade launchers because you might need them to blow up drones. It's possible. Like, I know we all say, you know, if we build artificially intelligent militarized machines, that's scary stuff, and it might backfire on us or blow up in our face. It's like the bomber who's putting together a bomb, and then, you know, he doesn't make it because he blows up the bomb by accident, and he's done. You might have the same problem scenario with the militarized automated weapons, because how do you kill a drone, and what does it matter? What if there are hundreds of them? You know, it's super scary stuff. The threats of the future are, we don't even know what they are yet. Like, all of a sudden you hear about a sonic weapon in Cuba that's giving people brain damage, that's probably being administered from afar. There are lasers you can send from. There's all kinds. We're living in the future already. It's Jetson's world. All this stuff is happening. And, man, anyway. But there's good and there's bad. Supposedly we're not horrible humanity. And all we want to do is fuck and smoke weed, and it'd be a great world. We'd all be kings and queens. That's it. Hey, if your spouse isn't doing it for you, well, maybe you can rent yourself a militarized woman. I'm sure you could, and it's gonna be lifelike. All right, let's not go down that road. Anyway, there's other like 30 things I want to talk about. So, I am driving through the middle of Vermont. Why? Well, I have a friend here to visit in Vermont. That's one reason. And I also love driving, and I love Vermont. I went to Université at the University of Vermont, and then stayed here up in Vermont for a couple years afterward. And consider those years to be of the six best years of my life. At least some of those years are top years of my life. And I think that a lot of people in their late 30s, 40s, 50s, they'll look back and say that, yes, college, you know, looking at your kids growing up, college is the time when anything goes, it's awesome. You don't have the job to deal with. You just got to show up and fill in a multiple choice economics exam once every other Tuesday. That's all you got to do. And it's a great, you know, it's a great experience. So I just, it's reminiscent of fantastic times, and it's not disappointing again. So I'm driving around here on September 1st. Now, bigger issues, other, you know, 20-year high school reunion. That's coming up next month. Now, some of the people listening to this podcast, or at least one, is of the same graduating class as moi. Does not get on Facebook, does not understand that he's being invited, won't make it out because he lives on the West Coast. And that's okay. Well, I'm going. I got roped in because friends started bringing me in. Now, when you go to a reunion, 20 years, you can't miss that. I mean, come on. If you had any friends in high school at all, there's a chance some of them might show up and you should go. Now, how do these things work? Are you supposed to bring significant others? Maybe not. Probably not. I don't think you're supposed to bring kids. But although there are multiple events, like a football game or something, that would be great to bring my son to. So maybe I'll do that. But was thinking, how do you explain yourself after 20 years? Have you thought about that question that inevitably will come up, which is, so, like, what have you been up to the last 20 years? People that you just haven't seen since high school. And, well, if you start to evaluate 20 years as you're approaching 40, you're evaluating the second half of your life, the half of your life when you were supposed to be manipulating the tools that you discovered in the first half. And a lot of people in Vermont just hanging out on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. I love this state. God, this state is awesome. All right, but I won't not deviate too much on topics here. I was back at, what do you tell people after 20 years, the first half of your life, and the second half of your life? Okay. Well, you look at your accomplishments first. Let's go positive. I think that procreating is up there. If you have a child already, child's alive, child is not as retarded as you are. Child's a lot smarter than you. You should appreciate that. And that's certainly a champion. Ding, ding, ding. So I'm going to wear a belt for that. And that's great. Having kids is important. So that's one. Now what else? Now, other than copying your genes, what about other accomplishments, professional accomplishments, right? Well, I would have to say there are two things that are true, but one of them, I want to be honest, and it's self-deprecating, or it's critical, which is I have a history of a personality disorder in jobs that gets me fired from all of them. And that's how it's been going. But it led to running my own business, which doesn't make a lot of money. And that's my life. But I enjoy what I do sometimes, and I have the freedom on a Friday to be driving around the center of Vermont. And sometimes with the top down, like I did yesterday when I drove here, because it was gorgeous. And I was flying on these country roads, passing people, because they have those great rules in Vermont. They're like, hey, if it's a double yellow line, it's Vermont. There could be a tractor, there could be a train of cows. Move to the left. That's all you gotta do. I love this state. So, all right. So, what do you say after 20 years? I got fired from a lot of jobs, and I have a son. Yeah. Makes you think. And I guess it's also a motivator. For example, if what's cool nowadays? What's cool? Are YouTube videos cool? Sometimes. Shared experiences are cool. If I picked all 16 or 15 football games right every week, that would be awesome. Let's see if I can do that. It's a motivator. When you're reevaluating these last 20 years of your life and what you would say, it's a motivator to make something more of the next 20, you know? So that got me thinking. So I've got a month to do something. I do something awesome before October 6th. What would be cool? Here's the problem nowadays. I don't know if you have this problem or not. I'm sure you. We're all human. So, the media that we consume. If you're digital and you've got a great phone with a, you know, I got unlimited data on my phone, or you got a tablet, you got stuff lying around that you can always be accessing videos or whatever. And you have your complete choice of media. What do you do now? This comes up in my head frequently because I do a ton of driving. And as I'm driving right now, I'm recording a podcast. I'm kind of doing work, doing some entertainment. If you're listening to this, and I know people do, I have stats on the site now. It's pretty cool. Like, you know, I've got a group of like under 100 people, but it's people that listen, and whatever. It's a choice of media. It's cool. Now, So it's tough because you have complete control of your media. Like I watch a lot of YouTube, and I cycle whatever I feel like. Maybe it's political, maybe it's Norm MacDonald podcast or Norm MacDonald clips because he makes me laugh. There are a million things that are going to be auto-populating and auto-feeding into your list. YouTube starts to get smart about what you like and feed you stuff. And if you do it right, you get a ton of things that are highly rewarding and of special interest to you. And it's amazing. You know, when you go back in time, kids today, I'm sure, don't understand. My son definitely doesn't understand, even though I tell him. Back when you just had a TV with 5 channels and you had to watch the Valerie Harper show if you were an 8-year-old boy. Because it was better than the news, and I'm sure it was better than like Cagney and Lacey or whatever the fuck was on. Right? Nowadays, it's, oh my God, I want to watch amazing physics simulations that are boggling the mind. I'll just watch a rotation of those for 50 minutes for free with no ads because you have ad blocker. What world do we live in terms of media consumption? No wonder movie theaters are losing money. Who wants to spend $9 for popcorn and sit in a seat that somebody else jerked off in just because you want to watch, you know, Superstar, Spider-Man, Galactica, or Wonder Woman? You just want to just wait, you know, half an hour and it'll be on Netflix. Sounds great, right? We do live like kings in some sense. That's kind of cool. So it's great to think about all these options we have, but now we've got to narrowly direct our time to what we want, given that we have anything at our disposal. It's really nuts when you think about it. None of us can truly grasp the fact that we could search anything. And I'm sure we're not as diverse as we should be in what we watch and what we listen to and how we consume what's available to us. Because the entire education of human history essentially is on YouTube, basically, and keeps getting uploaded faster than we could ever watch it. So, welcome to the internet. You know, and it's amazing stuff. So what should I do? I don't know what to do. There are a million things to do. Doing football games is fun because people care. And it's easy. Somebody wants me to do college football. I can do a college football scrap. What else? You do a scrap every day. Things I say I should do and I never do. God, what else is going on? I won't go down Trump's road because who cares? We're in Vermont. Get the hell away from Trump. It's so gorgeous. Alright, well, while driving up here, I was given this choice of what podcast I want to listen to. I made the decision, probably not a good idea to watch YouTube videos while I'm driving. I mean, I'll go with the listening part. That seems reasonable. But no need to watch Rachel Maddow just because I can. Now, when all the cars are driverless, it won't matter. You know, then you can watch all the Rachel Maddow you want because the car's taking over. But as for right now, you really shouldn't be watching. So it was like, what do I want to listen to? And you know who keeps coming up number one? Is Bill Burr. Bill Burr does the best solo podcast that exists. He is a genius. His voices are spectacular. He's quick. He's he critically attacks himself. You know, he argues and doubts and argues with himself openly and puts out quite possibly the best and what I think is groundbreaking. It will be a model for how people express themselves in the stand-up world, in the comedic world, in this new age of, you know, everyone wants to be so consumed with their stars. Like, people, you want to be in Kim Kardashian's ass. Like, you want a crevasse inside of her butt cheeks. Kim, can I get under your buttock? Yeah, everybody wants a piece right near a Kardashian dingleberry. And that's what we want. So what Bill Burr does is explains, he doesn't lie, he throws it out there because he's not ashamed, and if he's ashamed, he calls himself on it. And it's like public therapy, and it's funny because of the voices he does. Lady, he does everything. And so he's my number one because I'm thinking, well, he's loud. Who cares if I'm alone in a car? I can curse all he wants. I can't listen to him when I have my 5 or 6 year old now in the car because it's F-bomb, F-bomb, cunt, F-bomb. Okay. Something that I should watch myself. But I think you're listening to this podcast alone. I do not think you're listening to this with more than one person. Unless you're the NSA. So, anyway, we're at about our 17 minutes, and all I can say is life is good. Life is good.